These guys, these Corinthian believers, had spiritual gifts that were given to them by the Holy Spirit. Now, they were misusing these gifts, and the Apostle Paul is addressing that in the text that we're going to read. He's kind of addressing that. So there's so much that we can glean about the gifts of the Spirit, and hopefully we're going to walk away with a better understanding of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. But these guys, man, they were using the gifts of the Holy Spirit not to build up one another, not for the common good of the body of Christ, but they were kind of showboating. It was kind of to make themselves look good. So in a service, somebody might stand up and interrupt and start speaking in tongues super, super loud, not being led by the Holy Spirit, but just trying to say, look how cool I am. All these people were coming out of pagan worship. And so it's a new day for them, and they're following Jesus Christ, but they brought a lot of the world, a lot of their old religion, a lot of their old ways in with them into this new relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we follow false religions and cults, it's always all about you. Amen. Well, as they get these gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them, and they left love out of the picture. That's why in 1 Corinthians, we have that big love chapter. You know, God says, you know, hey, man, if you leave love out of it, to him, it's just a noise. It's an annoying noise. So we got to have love. But so some of the people with the more super cool slash dynamic spiritual gifts, some people might say, you know, more cool looking gifts or whatever. We're looking down on the people with more service oriented gifts. So the church and its worship had gotten to be a big mess. But there's a lot that we can learn from that. So let's jump into this text right here. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. These are our main verses. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another an utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Lord, your gracious Father God, we need you today. I ask, Lord God, that you guide us, that you lead us, that Father God, what needs to be said will be said. What doesn't need to be said won't be said, Lord, and we will receive the word and we'll walk in the word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your anointing, and thank you that your will be done, and not a single person is going to leave here the same way they came in. In the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody in the church said, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit come from the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back. Let's go to the next slide. Let's go back to the promise that Jesus Christ, right before his ascension back up into heaven, this message or this promise that he gives to his disciples. Acts 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power. I want you guys to think about that. Think about that. Underline that in your neighbor's Bible. Do what you got to do. Write it with lipstick on the mirror. Doesn't matter. Remember, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's Jesus Christ, right before he leaves to go back to the right hand of the Father, saying, I'm not going to leave you guys as orphans. It's actually a good thing that I'm going. Now you are about to be filled. You're about to be baptized. You're about to be saturated with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit, it's not a thing, it is a he. The Holy Spirit is the third man in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're probably the least educated about the Holy Spirit in the church. I've been convicted about that, and I've been trying to remedy that. It's been the Holy Spirit driving me to talk more about the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord some praise. So the promise was given, and then we have that promise given. See, the thing about God, when he makes a promise, you can write a check on it. You can take it to the bank. You know, I've said it before. When somebody makes you a promise, and man, you know, you get a lot of promises from folks. I get people tell me every week something that they're going to do or whatever. And you know what you do without even thinking about it? You weigh it out. Is this a trustworthy person? You know, you're not even trying to think about it. But, you know, someone says, I'm going to do this or that. Automatically, you're like, okay, is this okay? What's this guy's record like? Okay, so here's the deal. God made these folks a promise. And he made a lot of promises before this promise. And God always keeps his word. Okay? So let that be an encouragement to you, because I want to invite every single person to get into God's promises, man. Look at God's promises, okay? When he says, hey, I never promised you life was going to be easy. Actually, I told you, and through much tribulation, you got to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm here for you. We're going to get through this. There's a million and one promises. I've counted them. There's a million and one promises that God gives his people. So jumping back on our what we're talking about today, you know, God made a promise to these folks and God kept his word. So talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, that can be kind of scary for some folks. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit can be kind of scary. Can I get a witness? To think about it, to want it. Well, see, let me try and put your mind at ease just a little bit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is your heart. Are you praying, saying, God, I want to be led by you. I want everything that you have for me. I want to be equipped with whatever spiritual gift or gifts that you have for me. Amen. It's as simple as that. Saying, God, fill me, baptize me, saturate me with your Holy Spirit. It is believing and receiving. Believing and receiving. It's like when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You heard the gospel message. You didn't understand every single bit of it. You heard it. You believed it. And you received it. And when you asked for that gift of salvation, boom, you just got adopted. And so, just like that, how you received your eternal salvation by requesting from a holy God that precious gift that his son Jesus Christ paid for. You say, I need you, Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. When you accepted Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Every Bible-believing Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside them. Can I get a witness? But then God says, hey, wait, there's more. If you want more, there's more. It's just saying, God, Holy Spirit, I want everything that you have for me. Amen. Can I get a witness? Yeah, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So in Acts 2 and verse 1, day of Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That's what I want to point out. All together in one place. At this time, there was about 120 Christian folks. That's how big the church was. So when Jesus was doing his earthly ministry, there was thousands of people following him around. Remember, he fed the 5,000, and that was just counting the men. And then he fed the 4,000. There was thousands and thousands of people following him. But when he began to tell people, hey, this ain't about all the goodies. This ain't all about the neat stuff. But this might cost you something. This could cost you everything. When he began to tell folks about that, man, that crowd got really, really thin. Really, really thin. So after his resurrection, after his crucifixion and resurrection, we got 120 believers in Jesus Christ. Now, once these disciples received the Holy Spirit, thousands of people begin to come to Christ because of the Holy Spirit using these men. You know, that's the equipping of the Holy Spirit. And so we say at Victory Life Church, God, give me what you want me to have. Give me what you want me to have, whatever that is. Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. We got everybody together, 120 folks hanging out in one room, Acts 2, 3, and 4, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Make just a simple little point here. Everybody was together, the whole church, and look, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on just the super cool ones, on just the ones that were really good at talking. It doesn't say that at all. So this is something that we need to be encouraged by, that the Holy Spirit, these tongues of fire rested on 120 folks, and there was 120 believers in that room. That Holy Spirit was for everybody, everybody, okay? Well, I'm more of a Methodist believer. I'm more of a Presbyterian believer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's for everybody. And if you're a Christian, you got the Holy Spirit, man. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's a good point. That's a very good point, Sister Dina. My hearing's getting better, man. I used to be really... Thank you, Jesus. That's right there. Okay, so anyways, moving forward. This gift of the Holy Spirit, nobody was left out. It didn't leave Mary out. It didn't leave Sister So-and-so out. It didn't leave the guy who just got saved 3 weeks ago out. It was for everyone. And they were all, every single one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we have baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then automatically we see a gift of the Holy Spirit. They begin to start speaking in this other tongue, this other language, and as they begin to speak, you know, this was the festival of Pentecost, this huge celebration, people from all over the known world there to worship at the temple. And so this person from Crete was hearing the apostles talk in his language, even though Peter didn't know that language. And this person from Greece was hearing his own language. See, God was using these guys, giving them a gift that they didn't have before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I get a witness? And he says, remember in Acts 1, power, you will receive power. All God's people said, power, pure energy. Say that. All right, let's go to the next slide. What I'm trying to say, baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every single believer in Jesus Christ. Okay? It's for every single person. Now, with that comes gifts, comes spiritual gifts. Amen? This is where it kind of gets kind of scary sometimes when you talk about stuff like this. I'm not scared of it, you know, but sometimes if our background was in a different denomination or something, we're like, oh Lord, I should have went fishing today. I don't really want to hear about this. We got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so as a body, as a group of believers, I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to be obedient to the Lord in the ministry that he's called me at. And when he says, Paul, I want you to talk about this, I'm obliged to be obedient to that. Can I get a witness? Okay. So there's these gifts that accompany the Holy Spirit. Let's jump back to our main text. We're on slide 3. Okay, we're there. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the question we're asking right now, are these gifts, just like the baptism is for everyone, are these gifts for every single believer? Remember, the tongues of fire rested on top of all 120 people. The Holy Spirit's for every Bible-believing Christian. Now, God has gifts, spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit, that he has handpicked for each and every believer. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To each, that's all of us, everyone. To each is given, every Christian, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each of you, God, before the foundation of the earth, before you ever existed, before the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve, he picked you out to be his kids, and he picked out spiritual gifts that he wanted you to operate in. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's two verses right there that just says, hey, God has given each and every person spiritual gifts. If you're his child, he wants you to operate in this gift. He wants you to flow in this gift. Amen. And look, as he wills, so the Holy Spirit decides what gift is going to go best with you. Does that make sense? Each person, God has allotted spiritual gift or gifts, and the Holy Spirit decides what is best. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as each, every single person, as each has received a gift, nobody's getting left out, man. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. There it is again. Nobody's getting left out. Romans 12. Everybody doing all right? Romans 12, 5 and 6. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So, you know, the Apostle Paul uses this picture of the human body. And he's like, there's millions and millions and millions upon millions of Christian people, but we're all part of one body. We're all part of the body of Christ. So God, the Holy Spirit, will say, I need Brother Josh to flow in this. I need Sister Rachel to flow in this. I need Brother Scott to flow in this. Because a body has got to have some eyes. It's got to have a nose, got to have some ears, got to have a mouth. You know what I'm saying? So he says, I need everybody to receive these gifts and to walk in these gifts. He says, there's a bunch of you guys, but you really make up the body of Christ. Think about that for a second. You are the body of Christ here on earth. That means that you have a huge responsibility. That means that God has called us for him to live his life through us while we were here on earth. Does that make sense? He wants to use me and you. Amen. He says, you've got the Holy Spirit, man. You've got the third man of the Trinity living in you. Now yield to him. Let him use you to make your corner of your world a better place and lead men to the cross of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Individual members. There's the fingers, there's the toes, there's the ears, there's the elbows. That's us. Having gifts that differ. So God might use Brother Allen with this gift, and it might use Brother Mike with another gift. Because we got to have those ears, we got to have that nose, we got to have those eyes. He wants every gift to be used, and he assigns the gifts that he wants us to have. Right? Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So the fact that you have been given these spiritual gifts, that's because of God's grace. That's because of God's love. That's because of God's favor in your life. So if you see somebody flowing in that gift, and you're like, man, I really wish I had that gift, don't sweat it, because God has given you the gift that he wants you to have, that he wants you to use. Amen? Amen. It's, look, man, one time, dude, I kicked something. I kicked something in my house. I was in a bad mood. Maybe I was trying to kick the cat, Sandy. I probably wasn't trying to really kick the cat. But I was not. Sandy loves animals. I love animals. I wasn't, you know what? I don't know. I really don't know what I was trying to kick. I was in a bad mood. It ain't right. But I kicked something, man. I broke my toe, dude. I broke it. This little tiny part of my body, man, was messed up. And I felt it for weeks, man. One little part of my body was messed up. But see, God says, this brother is the toe. This brother is the finger. This brother, this sister is the elbow. And he wants us all working together. And you can tell, just like when you got something going on in your body, you might be perfectly fit and fine and healthy in 99% of your being. But man, if you got a sore tooth or a cracked tooth, man, it messes everything up. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Can y'all hear me all right? Okay, let's go to the next slide. These gifts are for everybody. They're assigned to us by the Holy Spirit. He picks out who needs what. Why? Why do we have these gifts? Why does God give these gifts? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 again. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Yes. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There's your answer right there. Remember, Paul, the apostle, was getting on to the Corinthians because they were using these gifts to make themselves look good. It was like standing up and saying, look what I can do, disrupting the service. Look what I can do. Look how cool I am. Hey, check this out. It was showboating. It was trying to make themselves look good. Man, and that is completely contrary to the Christian thing. Can I get a witness? Our gifts are to point to Jesus Christ. Everything we do as Christians, let this be convicting to you because it's very convicting to me. What we do is supposed to point to Jesus Christ. Our lives are supposed to give God glory. Ouch. All God's people say, ouch. We all got to work on that, right? We got to be led by the Holy Spirit. We got to let the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's like, don't you dare open your mouth. Don't do it. Don't do it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Count to 10. Do whatever you got to do. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Can I get a witness? For the common good, to encourage, to bless, to strengthen the church community. Not for one individual to look super cool. Amen. Let me read this to you in the NLT, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So we can help each other. That's why we're giving these gifts. For the common good of the church, to strengthen the church, to encourage the church, to bless our brother and sisters. Can I get a witness? 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. So with yourselves, So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, remember Paul's getting on to these guys about misusing the gifts of the Spirit. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. It's for the common good of the church. It's for building up one another. It's for building up the church. It's for strengthening, encouraging, blessing one another. Can I get a witness? Ephesians 4 and verse 12. To equip the saints, that's you. I'm not a saint. You are a saint. Every single one of us, if you're a Christian, you're a saint. Well, that ain't what I was taught. It doesn't really matter. I mean, the scripture's the scripture. The Bible's the Bible. To equip the saints, the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. There it is again. For the common good, building up the church, for building up the body of Christ, for the edification of God's people, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to bless one another. It's for us to encourage one another. Amen? Can I get a witness? And then look you right here. Look, yeah, give the Lord some praise. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. It's also, why are these gifts given? To equip you to do the work that God needs you to do. To equip you, to give you the tools you need to do the work God has called you to do. Can I get a witness? Amen. If you remember Acts 1 and verse 8, so I think it was the first verse we read after our main verse, where he talks about that promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And with that promise, he says, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive power. Why? Because I need you to be my witnesses. I need you to be bold and not full of fear. That's going to come from the Holy Spirit, giving you boldness. When you don't want to be bold, guess what? The Holy Spirit can make you bold. I mean, look at Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was always bold. Look at Peter. Look at Peter, you know, and that guy from the day of Pentecost on, what a mighty, mighty man of God. The boldness that this guy had. This is a guy that denied Jesus Christ, that he knew Jesus Christ three times to save his own skin. But then after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man, you couldn't get him to shut up about Jesus. He was saying, the same Jesus who you crucified, you know, there's that boldness of the Holy Spirit. The Lord hasn't given you a spirit of fear or timidity. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit, man. Amen. He says, you're going to be empowered so you can be my witnesses. So that's that Holy Spirit inside you that's like, hey, talk to that person, man. Tell that person about Jesus. Talk to that person. Just smile to that person. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. When you can't get somebody out of your mind, you know, you see somebody and you leave that area, but you can't stop thinking about them. That's the Holy Spirit saying, man, you need to pray for that person. You need to pray for that person. That's the power that God has given us. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. This is kind of, it's a different thing than how I usually teach. But I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord, and I hope it's all making sense. So what are these gifts? What are these gifts? Man, there's a bunch of them. Have you ever done a study and tried to look up all the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Man, there's a ton of them, a lot of them. So these gifts are for every single believer. The Holy Spirit picks out the gift or gifts that he wants you to have, okay? They're for everybody, and these gifts are given so that you have the tools or you are equipped to do what God wants you to do and for the common good of the body of Christ or the church. Amen? Now, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, not to be confused with the fruits of the Spirit, because sometimes we do that, you know? We got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, We got the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They're different things. The fruits of the spirits, the fruits of the Spirit, these are character traits that we are to develop as we mature in our relationship with the Lord. Character traits that Christians are supposed to develop as we mature in our relationship with the Lord. So you might not have been a very loving person when you accepted Christ, but then all of a sudden you find yourself, you can't stop loving people. You can't stop loving people that you never, ever would have even thought of a week before. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you might not have been a person that was really full of joy. Maybe you were always a joyful person, but maybe you weren't always full of joy. But God wants you to grow in that. He wants us to all be joyful people. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Sometimes we're not full of joy because we're not thinking about the right stuff. But God wants to develop these things, these qualities in our life, you know? You might not be a very peaceful person. Well, my life's been crazy, man, you know? Of course I don't have peace. It's not about your life not being crazy. It's about being able to have that calm assurance no matter what's going on in your life. You know, no matter what's happened. These are the fruits of the Spirit, okay, that we're supposed to cultivate. But what we're talking about today, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the tools, the spiritual power that God says, skip, this one's for you. Oh, don't go off too fast, skip, this one's for you too. Skip, have a little bit of this one too. You know, Sister Claudia, this is what I need to use you with. So we have the nose, we have the eyes, we have the ears, we got the belly button, we got the elbows. Can I get a witness? For the building up of the church, for the common good of the church. Okay, so let's go over some of these gifts real fast. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 10. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Jump with me to Ephesians. You're going to find your gifts in 1 Corinthians, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12, I believe, if you want to do a study. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, or the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Now, these are offices. These are offices that God calls people to operate in. But to operate in these offices, there's the gifts that accompany that office. Does that make sense? So you can fancy yourself as a prophet all day long. But if God's called you to be a prophet, then guess what? You're going to flow in the prophetic. Does that make sense? You might fancy yourself to be a teacher. But if God hasn't called you to be a teacher, well, that's a different story. Amen? Now, I'm not saying if you see a need, step in and fill it. If you see a need, do what you can do for that need. Amen? God's called us all to spread his gospel. You know, and sometimes we have to let God use us in a place we really don't think we shine at, but that's just part of being a Christian, and that's just part of building up the common good, building up the church. Amen? We're all in this together. Takes a village, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? What's he talking about? Okay. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. You ever heard those teachers? I ain't talking about myself, man. I ain't talking about. You ever seen somebody teach and you're like, man, that dude was born to teach. That dude knows what he's doing. That guy can talk about something so complicated and then I can leave thinking, man, I get it. I understand it. That's a gift, man. That's a gift from God. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Let's go jump back down to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets. There is some overlapping here. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping and administrating, and various kinds of tongues. The new ones, helping and administrating. We haven't read that yet, okay? So important. Can I get a witness? Romans 12, 6 through 8, more gifts. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, God picks out the gifts he wants you to have. He says, Angel, this is the gift I need you to flow in. Larry, Brother Larry, this is the gift I need you to flow in. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them in prophecy, there's prophecy again, in proportion to our faith. What does he mean? Prophecy in proportion to our faith. Okay, well, it's like this. Don't go making something up, man. Don't do that. That's not good. That's not good. Okay. If you ain't hearing it from the Holy Spirit, shut your mouth, zip your lip. Don't do it. Amen. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts, that's a new one, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So we got all these gifts, and they break down into pretty much three categories. Three categories. We got those serving gifts, helping, serving, giving, mercy, administration. Helping, serving, giving, mercy, administration. Leadership gifts, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle. Dynamic gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. So we break these down into three different categories. But rest assured, God has handpicked you for certain gifts. Amen. And you should be stoked and excited about the gift that God has given you. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? All right. It's a little weird, man. I get it, Josh. It's a little weird right here. But I wanted to... all these gifts should operate in the church. All these gifts should operate in the church. Yes. So, let's... Give me what? Yes. Well, that's what that mean. Like, God wants these gifts to operate in every single church. God wants all these gifts to operate in every single church. And he's assigned those gifts to each to individuals in the church. But you are so right. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. Good Bible-believing people, good Christian folks, because of their upbringing or denominational background, or just because they're scared and they don't want to lose control of the service. I don't know if I got all that from you. I'm not sure what all that was, but I'm sure it was good. But to answer the original question, and I mean no disrespect, I really couldn't get all that. God wants all these gifts to operate in his church. And sometimes we hinder that ourselves for whatever reason. So we have these lists of these gifts. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. So we're going to list them again. And I got these really tiny little definitions. And I encourage everybody to go do your own study. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Get into this stuff, okay? So Romans 12, prophecy. That's speaking God's truth. He's not going to tell you anything that cannot be lined up with the Word of God. You're not going to prophesy something to somebody that is completely contrary to what the Word of God says. So you are going to be speaking God's truth. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Serving, providing help, providing practical help. Teaching, I told you these were simple definitions, man, but I wanted to give us a little bit of something. Teaching, clearly explaining the word of God. Exhortation, motivating, encouraging others. I like that one. Exhortation, motivating, encouraging others. I see these gifts already operating in us in this church. Exhortation, motivating, encouraging others, giving, sharing in your resources generously, leadership, organizing, guiding, leading, mercy, comforting those who are suffering. Ephesians 4, jump down to Ephesians 4. Apostle, spread the gospel, plant churches. Some people say, some denominations say, these gifts are still active, but these gifts are not active. I don't subscribe to that. I don't believe that. All the gifts are for today. All the gifts are for today, okay? Apostle, spread the gospel, plant churches, prophet, speaking God's truth. There's that overlapping. Evangelist, leads others to salvation. Pastor, overseer, teaching the flock, training the flock, overseeing the flock. Teacher, explains the word of God. 1 Corinthians 12, a lot of gifts right here. Word of wisdom, communicating God's wisdom, the biblical truth. Words of wisdom, word of knowledge, communicating practical truth and understanding, and communicating and understanding the deep things of God. Word of knowledge, faith. I love that gift. Faith. Everybody's got faith. You have enough faith to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We have faith. Every believer has faith. That's faith is putting our trust in God. God wants to grow that trust, that faith in all of us. But have you ever seen somebody, man, that their faith was so stinking strong that you could not even begin to say anything about anything going on in the world or say anything whatsoever without them saying, "You got to trust God, brother. Snap into a Slim Jim, brother." Snap, all God's people said, snap into a Slim. You know what I'm talking about, right? Healings, miraculous abilities to cure illness, restore health, miracles. So we got healings and then we got miracles. Well, aren't they one and the same? There is the overlapping there, but a miracle is not limited to bodily healing. A miracle can be like, oh, I dropped my axe head in the river. I can't get my axe head I borrowed because it's in the bottom of the river. And God does a miracle and the axe head flows to the top of the river. That's in the Bible. That's why I said that. You know, these miracles are not limited to bodily healing. You know, driving down the road, God causes my car to stop for some reason right before some tragedy or some crazy catastrophic thing happens. That's a miracle. Okay. Amen. Miracles. Not limited to healing, supernatural acts that alter the ordinary. I did good with that one. Distinguishing between the spirits, discernment. Man, we need this gift. I got a friend of mine, and his gift, and he is rough on the edges, man. He's like me. I mean, but man, he flows in discernment like nobody I've ever seen, man. When I talk to him, sometimes he'll tell me things. He'd be like, "Hey, I feel this is going on," or something like that. I'm like, "What?" And then sure enough, it's the truth. Distinguishing between what is true and what is not. We all need discernment. We got to stay in the scripture. We got to study to show ourselves approved. We got to spend time in God's word so we don't just follow some weird teaching that sounds really, really good. And we should have that discernment operating in our life to where like, that's not of God. That's not right. Amen? Distinguishing between the spirits, speaking in tongues, the ability to speak in a language that you don't know. Whether it's the language of angels, or you're speaking French and you ain't never spoke French before. Because God will do stuff like that. God does stuff like that all the time. where people hear somebody in their native language, they need a message from God, and they're in a foreign land or something, and then all of a sudden some guy's praying and he's actually talking in French or whatever. God does stuff like that, man. That's that power. Amen. So yeah, it's like what somebody was saying back there, and I was saying, sometimes stuff can be kind of scary and we want to stay away from it, but God says, no, I need you to want every single thing I have for you so you can be fully equipped to be the servant I need you to be. Amen. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. That was one of the things that was going on in the Corinthian church. Some dude would just stand up, start speaking in tongues. And look, man, sometimes I get excited and I'll speak in tongues in the church. It's not talking about that. It's talking about kind of interrupting or standing in front of everybody and saying, check this out. Look what I can do. That's, God doesn't approve of that sort of thing. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. So God will say, hey, speak this and you'll begin to speak. And then somebody needs to interpret that, because you got to have that gift as well. Someone has got to flow in that gift as well. Does that make sense? So one person will, and I've seen it many, many times, someone will speak in tongues and someone across the room will have the interpretation. This is all from the Holy Spirit. It's all from the Lord. Okay. Interpretations of tongues, helps, gift of helps, providing support or assistance. So that's the list right there, man, of these gifts that God has for us. How do I know what gift I have? And we'll close with this. How do I know what gift I have? Okay, here's a couple things, man, I would encourage you to do. Get into the scriptures. Read like we just did. Read these gifts. Read these gifts. As we read over those gifts, I guarantee you a lot of people in here were like, I think God uses me in that one. I think God uses me in the gift of helps. I think God uses me with my generosity. I think God uses me. Did something like that happen? Did you know what I'm talking about? So study the gifts in scripture. Do that. Study the Bible. Study the gifts and pray. 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 Say, God, show me. Show me. James says, if you need wisdom, ask. He wants to give it to us. He ain't going to get mad for you asking. Pray and read scripture, man. Read about the gifts. Okay. Then also, man, this is a big one. So as I read scripture, I'm finding out what these gifts actually are. I'm doing deep study on what these gifts do and what they are. Okay. I'm praying, God, open my eyes. Use me. What gifts do you want me to operate in? Those are biggies. But then also serving, man. This is the big one, man. Start serving. And everybody in here already does this. But get involved. Get involved. Try things out, man. You see a need? People come up to me all the time. What can I do? What can I do? Some people mean it. Some people don't. That's just how it is. You know? But people say, what can I do? Or someone just sees a need. Someone just sees something and like, okay, no one's doing this. In my opinion, I think this needs to be done. So we get involved. We volunteer, right? Okay. And it's really trial and error, really. I'm asking God to guide me and lead me, saying, God, guide me, lead me, show me. And then as I begin to serve in the church, a church, the church, VLC church, the body of Christ, as I'm serving, man, you know, what am I starting to be fruitful in? What am I fruitful in? Does that make sense? Because I'm not really fruitful when I do this, but this I'm actually bearing some fruit in. Then if I was you, I would begin to dig into that gift right there. It's like some people want to be leaders really, really bad. I grew up in the church, man. I've seen people come and go thinking, man, that they were going to run the show and that they were going to lead. And guess what, man? If they weren't called to do it, they just caused a big old stink. If they weren't called to do it, nobody was going to follow them. Why? Because they didn't have the gift of leadership. Does that make sense? But man, if God's called you to be a leader, people are going to listen to you. People are going to start to follow you. That's the gifts. So that's really the big thing, man. If you want to operate in your gifts, you got to get out there, man, and just serve. Just serve and see what, where am I being fruitful at? Make sense? All right. I know that's pretty practical, but the big thing is praying, man. God, direct me, lead me. He doesn't want you to waste these gifts. He's going to use you if you want to do that.